Lizzo makes another huge announcement. Now that that is finished, maybe she can go back and sink into obscurity again. The stealing of property is not just limited to our wallets and cars anymore. Now they're going after your houses. And the Japanese have a study out that has every man kind of looking at every other man a little oddly. This is Gene, and you're listening to Dumbasses Talking Politics. Hey, this is Gene. Welcome back to Dumbasses Talking Politics. I hope you had a great day yesterday. All right. So Josie and I went for a walk yesterday, 3.5 miles. My feet are killing me. Gotta get back into shape. Gotta sit there and get some of this tire off of my hips. So we decided to go for a walk. Josie's feeling the same way. And 3.5 miles. And it was a good walk. Good walk. I got a call from a friend. We talked for about, 30 minutes or so. Turns out he's doing really, really well. And, you know, just things were good. It was nice to get outside, touch grass. I got home, was exhausted, which not exhausted is an exaggeration, but was tired. Took off my feet, really feel my feet. Gonna go out for a walk after this because I figured that's a good thing. Take a couple miles and walk. As far as the then I got home, sat down, watched the Dodgers play. Dodgers beat the Giants again. 5-4, it was close, way too close. Dodger pitching is going to be kind of iffy. I know their hitting is fantastic. Their pitching is going to be a little iffy this year. We're going to have to see. Last year they had the same problem with their relief staff, so we'll have to see if their relief staff recovers a little quicker than they did last year. I remember last year they went through like 30 games where the relievers couldn't get anybody out. And it's not as bad as it was last year, but it doesn't look great. Okay, so let's get to our first story. Now, I know I talked about this yesterday, and I know there was probably a lot of stress and consternation and fear and worry. Well, maybe this wasn't. I didn't talk about this yesterday. Maybe it was Monday. I don't know. You know what? Who cares? I'm lying. I really don't care about this story, but I think it's great. So you might all be relieved that Lizzo, the gravitationally challenged pop singer, has decided to walk back her statement that I told you about on Monday about an early retirement. She released another statement yesterday on Instagram, and this is what she said. When I say I quit, I mean I quit giving any negative energy attention. What I'm not going to do is quit. What I'm not going to quit is the joy of my life, which is making music and connecting with people. And I know I'm not alone. In no shape or form am I the only person experiencing the negative voice that's louder than the positive. If I can just give one person the inspiration or motivation to stand up for themselves and say they quit letting negative people, negative comments win when I've done even more than I could have hoped for, I'm going to keep moving forward and keep being me. Now, listen, this is probably what happened. Someone made a comment about her fat ass. She had one too many glasses of wine, and she posted on Instagram that she's quitting music because she's sick and tired. She didn't get the response she expected, and so she's saying, well, no, I'm not quitting because of that. I'm quitting because I'm a victim, and I just want to motivate people and sing and make money. And when she talks about all those people that aren't alone, she's talking about her entourage. Because those entourages that sit back and massage that fat ass and try and make her feel good about herself all the time, they're expensive. They're not cheap. So to keep that entourage, she's going to have to keep putting out shitty albums and, making money. So yeah, there's that. There's something, it's something to think about. So you can rest easy, people. It'll all be okay. She's going to keep making her crappy albums. And yay, I guess. By the way, I wasn't going to do this one today, but I am going to do it. And I'm going to talk about something that I'm going to talk about this that I'm really surprised there's a study for. Because if you've been interested in music, music has sucked. And we don't really need a study for this, but apparently there is a study. So according to the Postmillennial, a new study looking at the patterns of lyrics and music over the last 50 years have concluded that songs have gotten more simple and repetitive over time. Emotions in the songs have become more negative and angry. The study published in Scientific Reports found that English language songs have been simpler and repetitive over the last five decades in the categories of rap, country, pop, R&B, and rock songs. Lead author of the study, Eva Zangerle, and no, I didn't pronounce that correctly, just get over it, and others wrote in the paper's conclusion, quote, "We find that lyrics have become simpler over time regarding multiple aspects of lyrics, vocabulary richness, readability, complexity, and the number of repeated lines," end quote. You needed a study for that? I mean, the number one hit in the world right now on Billboard is a song that you can't understand what the guy is saying and he's talking about his ass half the time. You needed a study for that. I could have told you that. There are no songs like Stairway to Heaven or Money by Pink Floyd, Stairway to Heaven's by Led Zeppelin, or anything like that anymore. All the music sucks. Continuing, quote, "Our results also confirm previous research that found lyrics have become more negative on the one hand and more personal on the other," it added. And when she talks about more personal, she doesn't mention, or maybe she does later, but they become more narcissistic. Let's take a look at Beyonce. Beyonce decided to become a country western star now, for whatever reason. Because I guess blacks aren't allowed in country music. I don't know where that came from, but that's what she said. She the door is finally open. I didn't know the door was closed. I didn't know that, you know, I play a lot of blues on my guitar. And blues is typically, I didn't know that I couldn't play blues because it's actually, its origins are in black music. I didn't recall that ever being closed, but I guess it is. There one song that has been made into a hit is Jolene, which is a former Dolly Parton song. That song was about the suffering that the character in the song is having, that this gal who is more beautiful is after, named Jolene, is after her husband. And it's her suffering and how her love may not be enough to keep her husband. It is if you listen to it, it's actually a very painful song. But Beyonce has taken that song and made it into a I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar song, where she basically says she's going to beat the shit out of Jolene if she comes near her man. I mean, you missed the complete purpose point of the song. The song was how women deal with the thought that their man could be stolen by another woman. It had nothing to do with Dolly Parton sitting there and screaming that I'm going to beat the crap out of you, shoot you, bust a cap in your ass. It had nothing to do with that. But that's what's happened with music today. Music today is always about how great I am. Look at my butt. I mean, the whole twerking thing. Some of these women should not be twerking. There's a joke. There was a 7.4 earthquake in the Philippines yesterday. Taiwan. And one of the memes online is, there's Lizzo twerking. Okay, I do not need to see Lizzo twerking. The world does not need to see Lizzo twerking. She has no business twerking. Those butt cheeks actually change the tides. They're so big. But see, these people are all about women empowerment and things like that. And the men's music does the same thing. It's all about how great they are all the time. That's the problem with music today. It is all narcissism. It is all nothing but narcissism. Money, sex, drugs, crime, violence. That's all the music is today. It's boring. When you hear a new Cardi B song, it would have been shocking 30 years ago. It's not shocking anymore. It's boring. It's like, okay, there she is, half naked, twerking, talking about her butthole and her pee hole. And this is supposed to be shocking? I mean, that was her last four albums. Okay, so continuing with the article. Additionally, the author stated, quote, "Our analysis shows that lyrics have become angrier across all genres, with rap showing the most profound increase in anger. Country music had the lowest increase in anger and negative emotion across time." The authors actually think, honestly, outside of a few folks, country music has actually gotten better. I think country music has... I listen to country music with Josie. She likes country music when she's not listening to Mexican music. And I actually enjoy a lot of country music. Now, again, classics like Johnny Cash, nobody is going to outdo Johnny Cash. And I don't even know if you classify Johnny Cash as pure country music. I mean, he's more folksy country. You can't make... Charlie Daniels. Ken Rogers. Kenny Rogers. These are classics no one is going to beat out. And there are a bunch of them, bunch of country music like that. But I think country music's gotten better. Continuing, the author stated that the information gathered on patterns and lyrics of songs could be, quote, "used to further study and monitor cultural artifacts and shifts in society." Well, yeah, I mean, we're shifting away from music, from good music, because you don't see a lot of people playing classical music anymore. You know, all the laws of music, that includes blues, that includes jazz, that includes country, that includes rock, even some heavy metal. They all follow the same rules. Those rules come from way back with Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach, with Mozart. So there's a rule in guitaring called the 1-4-6 rule. And that 1-4-6 rule is basically you go on a scale, and when you play the first, what's called the root note in the scale, that root note is where you start and stop, and that's a basic rule. That's not an absolute rule, but it's a basic rule. And that when you have chord changes, you go to the fourth, or you go to the third, and you go to the fifth. So it's called the 1-5-1-3-5 rule. And you play on that. You play with that same pattern. That's been around for about 400 years. These people don't do that anymore. They don't play with this kind of stuff. And the music doesn't sound good. I know I listen to this stuff and I'm like, they don't play with any chords or instruments. There was a great podcast. It was actually on YouTube, where kids had to listen to Led Zeppelin's music and then give a critique of Led Zeppelin's music. And one of the kids, all of the kids liked Led Zeppelin's music. They liked the beat. They liked the guitar. They liked the music, the words, even though sometimes they couldn't understand the words. They all loved Stairway to Heaven, except the older kid, the 13, 14-year-old kid. "Oh, yeah, I've heard the song so many times. It's so old. It's so overplayed, blah, blah, blah." This is the kid that didn't like the fact that some music actually had instruments. He said that. I couldn't believe he had said that. All the other kids thought this was great. Do you know why Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven is such a great song? It's because it follows all the tenets of the 1-3-5 rule. I mean, it is a very simple song. Anybody and their mother can play Stairway to Heaven. You just have to learn the chords and you have to learn the finger picking. As a matter of fact, it's such a common song for guitarists. A lot of music stores won't even allow you to play it when you're testing out a guitar, because it is just, it's such an easy, simple song. All songs are easy and simple. Matter of fact, some of the best songs are just very simply 1-3-5 rule with a couple of chords and a beat. That's it. Yeah, today's music doesn't do any of that. Okay, continuing. Further, it added that these insights could signal, quote, changing sentiment in societies and shifts in the use of emotionally loaded words and the sentiment expressed in the lyrics consumed by the different audiences, age, gender, country, state, region, educational background, economic status, etc., end quote. Alongside the discovery, U.S. reading... discovery? Come on, you didn't know this. A guy who walks in there and drops the N-word 84 times while talking about his girlfriend's ass is not going to be as good as, let's say, Stairway to Heaven? Come on. Further, it added, alongside this discovery, U.S. reading scores have dropped to the lowest levels in decades among students. Yeah, you know something? This is where I found it kind of weird. Music is basically mathematical. If you're going to talk about music and compare it to one of the education facilities in schools, you don't compare it to reading. You compare it to mathematics. Because mathematics is really Mozart, and these are mathematically defined principles. The 1-3-5 rule, for example, when you play the guitar, that is based on a mathematic principle. Now, the reason reading scores, and actually writing scores too, would be way down is because it explains why the lyrics are so bad. It explains why Beyonce doesn't just sing Jolene, but she sings Jolene and uses slang. She can't get away from her slang, her, you know, hood slang, for 5 minutes. And Beyonce is no hood rat. You got to be kidding. Because she's got to maintain that cred that these pop stars need. They throw this slang that isn't even English. And we're wondering why our kids can't read or write. Fewer and fewer people read books in comparison to the late 1900s. Both are an indicator similar to the declining complexity of song lyrics in the reading, and the complex literary understanding seems to be on the decline, and that's why the lyrics are so bad. The author speculated in the study that the simplicity could be a result of more and more Americans simply music as a background noise. And this is a big one. Music used to be something that you would sit back, turn on, and listen to. I remember when I was a kid, we used to sit back and we used to listen to Pink Floyd. We used to listen to The Who, which was my best friend's favorite music. We used to listen to Led Zeppelin, The Grateful Dead. We would go to concerts for The Grateful Dead, just sit back and listen to these guys play music for 3 or 4 hours. Jazz is a perfect example of great music. You can just sit back and listen and watch these guys play, and it was great. Today, rap music? You're kidding, right? Cardi B? All these pop stars? You don't listen to that music. There's nothing to listen to. You can't even understand what they're saying. So it's crap. And this is part of the problem. The lyrics had meaning. Dolly Parton. Now, the song, Fast Car, this reminds me, I don't know, I'm going way longer on this. I'm probably going to end up skipping some of the things I'm going to talk about today. But this is important, because it's a cultural shift. And it's a cultural shift that is bad. So, the song, Fast Car, by Tracy Chapman. Great song, really deeply painful song, which is why I loved it. The whole album was very good. That was probably her only good album she ever released. But that song was one of my favorite songs. It's one of Josie's favorite songs. Well, we talked about this a few months ago, where the country singer, Combs, decided to remake the song. And it ended up being a number one hit. Now, when Tracy Chapman played Fast Car, back in the 90s, I think it was, it was also a number one hit. So this became a number one hit both in the country charts and the pop charts. The song is about 30 to 40 years old. It still makes a comeback. And Tracy Chapman we talked about this several months ago. Tracy Chapman ended up doing a song with Luke Combs doing Fast Car. It was the biggest hit at the award show that it had, Grammys or whatever it happened to be on. And why? Because it's just a damn good song. It is a painful song. It is catchy. It follows all the rules. Tracy Chapman is a pure musician. She's a guitarist. She plays folk guitar. She is a musician in the purest sense of the word. And it's a very simple song. Anybody can play it. And Luke Combs decided to do it, and it became a hit again. And that's the problem. Why did this song that's 40 years old become a hit? Because the music today sucks. It has no passion. It has no meaning. And that's the problem with these people. Now, the question I have for this group is, why is this even a study? I don't understand why this is even a study. You can tell. I mean, this is not rocket science. I didn't need to study. I can listen to Cardi B and know exactly what's wrong. It's perverse. It's shallow. It's the same thing over and over and over again. I mean, you can listen to an album, which is almost impossible to do. Listening to an entire Cardi B album, I can't imagine it's possible, which is one of the reasons why Cardi B releases singles. She doesn't release albums per se. But I would guarantee the 8 songs she had on an album would all sound the same. It would all be on the same thing about how great her butthole is. This is not music. This is just trash. And it's boring. That's the whole thing. It's boring. Okay. Well, I went off for 20 minutes on that tangent. So let's see if we can get through some of our stuff. So, you know, this is something that is happening a lot today. And it is squatting. And I got a couple stories here. And I haven't talked too much about it. Which, living in California, I should talk about. Because squatting is going to be an absolutely worrisome thing. Now, why is squatting worrisome? Is it because of the laws? Yes and no. The laws make it that squatters can walk into a house that's abandoned, or not abandoned, but a person isn't living there. For example, if I move to Arizona, I'm probably going to have to live in California for a while, so I'll buy a house in Arizona, but I'll leave it empty for a while. Then I have to worry about squatters. Or a house that is for sale, you have to worry about squatters going into that house. And the laws of most states right now, except Florida, we'll get into that in a second. The laws of most states do not give these squatters, which basically are burglars. I mean, they're stealing your property. Give these burglars rights after 30 days. So if a guy stays in your house for more than 30 days, he suddenly has rights as a tenant, which is ridiculous. So why aren't these states like California and New York, this is where this is happening a lot. Why are states like this not changing the laws so that if somebody is in your house and they have no business in your house, the police, you can't just call the police and have these people kicked out of the house or arrested? Well, the reason is because it's an ideological reason. Property rights have no business in communism. You have no property rights in communism. In the Soviet Union, you had no property rights. In Cuba, you have no property rights. In Venezuela, you have no property rights. In China, you have no property rights. The WEF believes you should own nothing. That everything you own, everything, everywhere you live, should be leased, including your property. Property rights are a bad thing to leftists. Because it's bourgeois. Okay, it's, again, you're penalizing the homeless. The homeless are being victimized again because they can't afford a house. And they do believe this. I mean, Russia ran on it. Russia used to, farmers, there's one, that's what led, in the Soviet Union, that's what led to famine. That the Soviet government took the land from the farmers and made it into community land. And then the people who went into that land to farm didn't know what they were doing and couldn't produce, or didn't want to because they didn't get anything out of it, and couldn't produce enough food for the people, and the people ended up starving, and you ended up with millions starving because of famine. That's what happened to the Soviet Union. It also happened in China under Mao. It also happened in Cuba under Castro. It also happened under Venezuela under Chavez and now Maduro. People are eating cats in Venezuela. So this is a common theme with leftists, is that property ownership is evil, landlords are evil, and therefore the government should own property. And this is one way squatters, laws favoring squatters, not seeing squatters as thieves, because that's what they are. That's one way to bring us closer to the communist ideal. And by the way, this isn't just socialist. This is full communist. So here are a couple of stories. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. According to the New York Post, a pair of alleged squatters accused of unlawfully moving into a Queens duplex are suing its rightful owners after refusing to vacate the $930,000 home. It's the latest logic-defying chapter in the ongoing squatter saga in the borough, which in recent weeks has seen multiple homes occupied by unwelcome invaders who claim rights to their property under the New York City's permissive laws. And by the way, it's New York State. The whole state, this is a state law. Quote, "It's absolutely absurd," end quote, said the owner of the latest targeted home, Juliana Fullman, who so far has racked up more than $4,000 in legal bills fighting the suit. To the Post on Sunday. Yeah, it should be simple. She should call the police, have the police walk in, arrest these people for trespassing and burglary. And if they didn't, and any type of damage they did to the property, that should be arrestable. Period. The law is simple. You break into my home while I live in my home, it's burglary. If you break into my home when no one's living in the home and I own the property, it's no different. But that's not what they see it. Quote, "These people literally broke into my house. It's not fair to us homeowners that we are not protected by the city," said the Jamaica property owner. Within the five boroughs, squatters need only occupy a property for 30 days before a wide range of legal protections kick in that make it difficult for the homeowner to evict them. Here's the thing. If you don't have a lease signed, you're not a tenant. Period. End of story. If my lease expires and I don't, well, the reality is I can squat in an apartment for almost 6 months if I did have a lease. Because why? Because they can't kick me out? No, they can kick me out. They have to go through all the legal procedures. But the difference is I actually had a lease. But, I mean, these people never had a lease. That's burglary. Get them out of the house. That's not the only stupid story. Here's a stupid story that should really concern people. And this is a squatter. These are squatters that are not homeless. And this should really worry. And everybody, it should worry. So according to Fox News, a Hawaii property owner is getting sued after finding out a $500,000 house was built accidentally on her land. The legal quagmire has attracted squatters to the house, according to the neighbor who spoke to local news. So what happened here? So the land was vacant and there was a developer. The developer saw the land was vacant and decided to build a house on the land. And now that guy that built the house on the land is saying that the woman who owned the land has to pay. So basically,
He squatted on the land. She bought the land for, it's Hawaii, so you, it's not a surprise. She bought the land for some sort of metaphysical, it's a beautiful land and she wanted to pray on it or some bullshit like that. Okay, she's a weirdo. But the fact of the matter is she bought the land not to build on it. And this guy said, well, the land's abandoned. So he decided to perform some high-level squatting on that land and build something on that land. And then when she came to the land and saw that someone had built a house on it, he said, well, you owe me $540,000because I built a house on your land. And then later, he said, well, I'll give you this parcel. And she said, I don't want that parcel. I want my land. You built the house. So here's the question. What should happen? She should be suing him to tear down the house. He's not looking at getting, he's not looking at any consequences for his mistake. Or I think to say it's a mistake is a stretch. I personally think he wanted, because he bought a bunch of plots in that area. I think he wanted all that land in continuous housing. And he wanted to dump her off into another piece of land. So he squatted on that land and built that. Built a house on it. And now is suing her for the house. Absolutely incredible. That should scare you. That should scare you. That's eminent domain crap. Where someone just sits there and says, well, you weren't doing anything with the land that I wanted. So I built a house. And that should be completely illegal. He should be completely in the wrong there. But no, that's not what's happening. That's not what's happening. So she bought this for $22,500. They built a house for $500,000. They want her to pay for the house for $500,000. And now there's a big worry that squatters are going to break into the house because Hawaii is a leftist state. And Hawaii has the same squatter laws. And Hawaii, believe it or not, has a huge homeless problem. And so not only is she going to have to pay to defend this in court for whatever reason, but she's going to have to pay the legal bills in order to get squatters out of the house. Now, it doesn't say that there are squatters in the house yet, but she said that's a real worry because it's a big thing in Hawaii. Absolutely incredible. Now, I have a couple of things with this. First off, the laws need to be changed. Florida has changed the law. Florida has said if you have no right to be in the house, the police can come in and arrest you. Or at least kick you out of the house. And if there's any damage in the house, because squatters have a tendency to really damage houses. I mean, there was one squatter in New York that was using a house that was not abandoned, but was being used for rentals for OnlyFans. So the two people were out there filming pornography in the house. And you can imagine the condition of that house after it was finished. And the condition was bad. So Florida has gone out there and said, this is bullshit, and I'm just going to write a law that says, if someone's in your house and they don't belong in your house, and the owner says they don't belong in your house, that person will be either kicked out of the house or arrested immediately. Why aren't the other states doing this? It's a very simple law. You're not a tenant. You don't have a lease. Get out. Or you really effed this house up, so we're going to arrest you for vandalism, burglary and vandalism. Why can't all the states do that? Oh, because all the states that this is happening in, Hawaii, California, New York, they don't believe in property rights. They want to make it as inconvenient. You're an evil landowner. You are an evil landlord. That's one of the reasons why they dump so many regulations on landlords. That's one of the reasons why rents in California and in New York and in Hawaii are so high. Because they put the cost, they put expense on the landlords, and the landlords basically have to pay it. And guess what? Shit rolls downhill. Hey, that expense is going to end up on you. So you end up paying $2,700 in rent instead of $1,400 or $1,200 in freer states. So that's one way. Let's change the law. The second way is hire somebody to get them out. There are groups called squatter vigilante groups right now. This is big in California. huge in California. In New York, I take that back. I think it's actually in Massachusetts, Boston. There's a guy you can pay to go in and give you advice on how to get squatters out. For example, there is another legal loophole you can use to get a squatter out. Basically, have somebody else sign a lease and then go to the apartment and say, I signed the lease. Who are these people? And then the police have to legally kick them out. A landlord can't do that. But a landlord who signs a lease to somebody, it is a legal loophole and people have been kicked out. That's one way. Another is there's actually a squatters vigilante group in California that you pay them from $5,000 to $20,000 and they will get the squatters out of your house. I don't know how they do it. I really don't know how they do it, but they will get them out of the house. And then finally, to be honest with you, if a burglar walks into my house right now, I'll take my gun and shoot him. This is what's going to end up happening. One day, somebody is going to squat in the wrong house with the wrong... I'm advocating for this, by the way, but I think this is where we're heading. If I bought a house in Arizona and that house is being squatted by strangers, they're destroying the house, you better believe I'm going to do more than call the police. But you're going to have people that are going to... If someone breaks into your house, you have a right to shoot them. I don't see what the difference is here. These people broke into your house. They're not tenants. I don't know who they are. It's burglary. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But this is the craziness in leftist areas. It really is insane. Okay, in our last story, and I was able to get through this. This is interesting. I think women and men are going to be looking at each other really differently based on this study. And I also think that, I don't think it's a wonder why we haven't found a cure for AIDS or anything like that. Because our medical industry is too busy doing studies on this crap. Okay, so let's read this. This is from the New York Post. She's sizing up some seriously big myths. A surgeon specializing in sexual health says you cannot tell a size of a man's penis simply by looking at his hands and feet. Dr. Raina Malik made the declaration on the Diary of a CEO podcast on Monday, squashing the stereotype that blokes with bigger shoes are better endowed. However, the surgeon, who practices in both Beverly Hills and Irvine, California, well, there's the shock. She practices in Beverly Hills and Irvine, and they say she's a surgeon. I would bet you a dollar she's probably a plastic surgeon. Beverly Hills, you know, is horribly expensive. So's Irvine. Irvine is the Beverly Hills of Orange County. Okay, so there's not a shock. Said there is one part of the body that could accurately indicate the size of a man's member. Quote, there's one study. It's a Japanese study where they look at only Japanese men. So there are some limitations. But they measured all of these body parts and penile length. And they found, what they found was that the nose length was correlated with penile length, not hand length or foot length, Malik declared. So I don't know about that. I personally think the hands and feet still have something to do with that. But Japan is at, what's amazing is here. Japan is doing a study on this. I don't understand. Idiocracy. If you haven't seen the movie Idiocracy, you need to see that movie. Because in the first introduction, it's the funniest introduction I think I've ever seen. Maybe I'll play it one day. But basically, it talks about how the medical industry is not doing studies on actual medicine, curing AIDS, curing cancer, creating vaccines for COVID or anything like that. They are busy creating erectile dysfunction drugs and hair growth for men. And it's really funny. That whole movie. That movie is exactly what's happening today, by the way. Now, they said we wouldn't be that stupid for another 500 years. We're already there. I mean, I don't know where this movie comes from. Watch the movie and tell me half the people you see aren't like that already. But just an amazing thing that we're studying here. So if you see someone with a big schnoz, you can, according to this Japanese study, assume that they have a big dick. Okay, I hope you guys have a great day. We'll finish off a little early. Have a great day. God bless. This is Gene, and you've listened to Dumbasses Talking Politics.